The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. This one from Good Housekeeping, How to Raise Kids Who Care. Try these strategies to enhance your kids' empathy naturally. We all want to raise caring children. In fact, in research by the University of Virginia, 96% of parents said that moral character was very important, if not essential. The best way to build it in your children, by fostering empathy, the ability to understand how others feel. Our mother, Teresa, went out of her way to teach us empathy. One winter, for instance, we stumbled upon a homeless man. Mom asked him his name and whether he had found shelter the previous night. The man seemed shocked that anyone would stop and see him. She slipped a few dollars into his hand. Later, she explained to us why someone might not have a family or a job, a lesson she learned firsthand as a child when her father died and her family was left in such dire straits that for a time they lived in a tent. She asked us to change our perspective. Could we imagine walking in that man's shoes? As parents, we can all embrace and teach empathy by helping our children discover new perspectives. First, asking why. If you see another child melting down, talk about what might have prompted it. Maybe she's hungry or has to go home before she wants to. Asking your child to think of a time she was told no will help her emphasize. Cultivating kindness. When your child has a disagreement with a friend, ask him why he thinks his playmate was upset. Did that child feel left out or otherwise marginalized? Is there a kinder way your child could respond next time? Sharing experiences. When your child grumbles about a teacher, ask her to consider what it's like to be facing cranky kids at the end of the day. Use an example from your own life. How do you handle your boss? There's more likely a nugget in there for your children to learn from. And being role models. Kids take cues from your emotional behavior as well as your actions. Openly share your feelings of confusion about social inequality, for instance, by discussing an issue in the news. Show your children how to turn those feelings into actions, like volunteering. And from Family Circle's Nightstand, your March read. It's called Girl, Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S. The momfluencer and co-founder of multi-million-dollar company Chic Media turns tough love into easy reading with her motivational secrets to redefining yourself and reclaiming your dreams. Sharing stories of overcoming shame, like when she finally forgave herself for refusing to volunteer at her kid's school. Hollis insists it's time for you to get intentional about your life and recognize your excuses as just that, excuses. And again, the book is called Girl, Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis. From Real Simple. Looking forward, making the new tax rules work for you. It's complicated, but our cheat sheet can make sense of the biggest shifts. The sweeping Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was passed in 2017 and affects tax year 2018, was the largest tax reform in the past 30 years. How it affects what you owe Uncle Sam depends on your situation. Take, for instance, something as straightforward as the standard deduction. Each year, taxpayers have the choice of either itemizing all their deductions, say medical expenses, mortgage interest, and charitable giving, or opting for a standard deduction that knocks a flat amount off their taxable income. Last tax year, that deduction was $6,350 for single filers and $12,700 for married couples filing jointly. For 2018, it has nearly doubled to $12,000 for single filers and $24,000 for married couples. Last tax year, about 7% of people took the standard deduction, and this year, TurboTax estimates about 90% will, says Lisa Green Lewis, a certified public accountant and tax expert at TurboTax. Here are a few other highlights you need to know. If you're a homeowner, historically, one of the financial perks of owning a home has been the ability to write off mortgage interest and property taxes. The recent tax law puts new limits on this. Homeowners with new or modified mortgages can deduct interest only on loans of less than $750,000. This change won't impact taxpayers with existing home loans, and interest on home equity lines of credit can be written off only if the money was spent on home improvements. Plus, taxpayers who itemize deductions will find that they can't deduct more than $10,000 in state and local taxes, including property, income, and/or sales taxes. Helena Sweiter, a CPA and the founder of the firm Sweiter CPA in Chicago, points out that property taxes are typically based on the value of your home and not the amount of your mortgage. So those living in high tax areas might feel the pinch, even if they have little home debt. If you have kids, previously the child tax credit reduced taxes by $1,000 for each qualifying child, but that credit was phased out for couples with an adjusted gross income above $110,000, $75,000 if you're a single filer. Now the tax credit has doubled to $2,000, and the income phase out starts at $400,000 for married couples filing jointly and $200,000 for single filers. If the credit reduces your taxes to zero, you may get some of the credit back as a tax refund, says Sweiter. Saving for a child or grandchild's college tuition, you're now allowed to pull money from a 529 plan to pay for up to $10,000 in private elementary and high school tuition. Check your specific 529 plan. You may even be able to deduct any contribution amount from your state taxes. Still, the biggest benefit of 529 plans is the investment grow tax-free if they're used for qualified education expenses, notes Eric Bronicant, a CPA and the head of tax investments at Betterment. You'll reap the most bang for your tax-free buck if you let your investments sit. Next, if you have a side hustle or a small business. If you work for yourself, you may qualify for a deduction of up to 20% of your pass-through business income, earnings from your business reported on your personal tax return. The deduction applies to partnerships, limited liability companies, S-corps, and sole proprietorships, the default entity status when you work for yourself. A single freelancer with no kids who earns $60,000 would owe nearly $3,000 less in taxes this year than she did last year, according to the Tax Policy Center. There's fine print. Certain types of businesses may not qualify for this deduction, and if your business is structured as an S corporation, you have to be mindful to pay yourself a salary, which you can't include in the deduction calculation. If you prefer to do your taxes yourself, you could consider going to an accountant this year, then using that tax return as a template of sorts for future years, she says. And last, if you give to charity. With fewer people itemizing, fewer people will get the tax benefits of charitable contributions, says Bronicant. Taxes aren't the only reason you give, of course, but a bit of planning can ensure you still maximize the benefits. If you're on the fence between itemizing and taking a standard deduction, consider a strategy called bunching. Rather than donating the same amount to your favorite nonprofit each year, write a supersized check one year and itemize, then skip the charitable contribution the following year. Or time that big check for a year when you'll have higher deductions across the board, such as significant medical expenses. Another tax-smart strategy is to donate an appreciated asset, such as real estate, mutual funds, or publicly traded securities, directly to the charity. Even if you're well below the standard deduction, that donation can lead to tax savings on the gains avoided, says Bronicant. From Family Circle, some health news. There's multiple little subheadings here. First, three facts about multiple sclerosis. One, we don't know what causes it. Multiple sclerosis, also known as MS, is a disease in which the immune system attacks the outer coating of nerve fibers in the brain and spinal cord. Some combination of genes and environmental factors causes it, says Jonathan Howard, MD, a neurologist at NYU Langone and author of Multiple Sclerosis, Questions and Answers for Patients and Loved Ones. Two, women are up to four times more likely to get it. That said, when men do get the disease, their symptoms tend to be more severe. Roughly 1 million Americans are affected by MS, with most diagnosed between the ages of 20 and 50. Three, no two cases are the same. Symptoms and severity can vary from person to person, Howard says. Common MS symptoms include vision problems, numbness or tingling, nerve pain, loss of strength and coordination, and fatigue. The most common type of MS is relapsing remitting, which means symptoms come and go, even without treatment. The next subheading, up 580%. Cold brew coffee fans, we see you. The U.S. market for cold brew soared this much between 2011 and 2016. Some Java lovers opt for cold brew coffee, believing it's a less acidic and easier on the GI tract. But a November study in Scientific Reports found that both the hot and cold versions have similar acidity, and the piping hot pours have higher levels of antioxidants. Pollen tsunami. That's the term allergists and red-eyed seasonal allergy sufferers have coined to describe the dramatic uptick in pollen levels over recent years. People may think that if they didn't have allergies as a kid, they're in the clear. But adult onset allergies, which may be caused by genetics, relocation, or shifting weather patterns, are common, says Clifford Bassett, MD, an assistant clinical professor at NYU School of Medicine. If you have a persistent cough or nasal drip, don't dismiss it as a lingering cold. Talk to your doctor. And last, more is better. When shopping for sunscreen, grab one with triple-digit protection. Contrary to earlier thinking, SPF 100 Plus actually does protect better against sunburn than SPF 50, according to a 2018 study. Of course, putting it on correctly is key, since repeated sunburns are more than just a pain. They can increase your risk of skin cancer. So remind everyone in the house to use a shot glass worth of skin-saving lotion on their bodies and a quarter-size dollop on their faces. From Real Simple Cooking School, what to buy where? Get the best tasting food for the best price with our Insider's Guide to Grocery Shopping. First, at the supermarket. Your local grocery store is the place for pantry staples and basic fruits and vegetables. Join the loyalty program. It's free and you're looking at 5 to 10% extra savings on average, says consumer finance expert Andrea Warosh. Plus, some supermarkets partner with gas stations and let you redeem grocery points for fuel discounts. Try store brands, especially for essentials such as flour, sugar, and peanut butter, and you'll save 30% on average, she says. A pro tip, avoid the bakery. There's often a 300% markup on cookies and cupcakes. The same goes for pre-cut meats like chicken cutlets or strips for stir fries. Don't forget a reusable tote. Some stores give up to 10 cents off for every bag you bring yourself. Warehouse clubs. You'll find deep discounts on paper towels, sponges, and long-lasting staples like vinegar, condiments, and cereal. But a warning. Sometimes we end up throwing the bulk of what we bought in the trash, says personal finance expert Rachel Cruz. Buy only what you can realistically get through and have room to store. No one needs 10 gallons of honey mustard. As a pro tip, have a plan, says Josh Elledge of SavingsAngel.com. You can't stock up when you aren't even sure what you're looking for. Farmers Market. Food grown locally and picked at peak freshness shines with some of the best flavor and some of the highest nutrient density. Look for honey made from regional bees, sustainably raised meat, and locally caught fish. You might pay more for these premium proteins, but dollars spent at the market go directly to your local economy and agriculture. Pro tip? Talk to farmers and ask questions. How should you store a purchase to make it last longer? Is there a discount for buying more? No one knows the wares as well as they do, and you'll likely score some great recipe ideas, too. And the internet. Look online for hard-to-find ethnic ingredients, project-based cooking supplies. Think heart-shaped sprinkles or spooky decorations for holiday cookies. Or specialty diet needs like gluten-free flours. In general, avoid buying produce online unless it comes from a purveyor that specializes in fresh ingredients. Pro tip, check the weights on bags and boxes carefully before you hit the order button. It can take years to get through a pound of chamomile tea. From Good Housekeeping, smart swaps for stronger bones. After you're 30, cells responsible for bone loss become more active, meaning it's extra important to eat for a sturdy skeleton. In one chapter of their new book, Michael F. Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, M.D., Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, and Michael Krupain, C-R-U-P-A-I-N, M.D., Medical Unit Chef of Staff at the Dr. Oz Show, share the foods that'll help strengthen your bones. You can also take a sneak peek at what to eat when. First of all, substitute sweet potatoes for rice. They contain more magnesium and potassium, which are important minerals in bone matter formation. Another swap, sardines and salmon instead of shrimp. These fatty fish have extra bone-healthy vitamin D. Use extra virgin olive oil instead of butter. It's packed with phytonutrients that have antioxidant power, and studies suggest it can help protect bones. And last, how about guacamole instead of cheese dip? Avocados have healthy fats and photophenols, both of which are good for joint health. Their book, then, What to Eat When, it's by Michael F. Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, and Michael Krupain, C-R-U-P-A-I-N, with Ted Spiker. It says available wherever books are sold. It does not mention whether it is on Audible yet. But there, if it's not, it will be coming soon. From Good Housekeeping, we've got some recipes. Tuscan-style tomato and bread salad. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time, only 20. Here's what you need. 1 pound of cherry tomatoes, cut in half. Half of a small red onion, thinly sliced. 1.5 tablespoons red wine vinegar. 4 tablespoons olive oil, divided. Kosher salt and pepper. 1 baguette, roughly torn. 1 clove of garlic, finely grated. 3 cups baby spinach. 3 cups baby kale. And sunny side up eggs. In a large bowl, toss tomatoes and onion with red wine vinegar, 3 tablespoons of the oil, and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Let sit 10 minutes. Meanwhile, on rimmed baking sheet, toss baguette pieces with garlic and remaining tablespoon of oil, and roast at 400 degrees until golden brown, 8 to 10 minutes. Toss toasted bread with the tomato mixture, then fold in the spinach and kale. Top each serving with 1 egg, if desired. It looks quite scrumptious, I must say. This serves 4. Lemony chicken soup. Active time is 25 minutes, total time 1 hour. You need 2 large yellow onions cut in half, 1 head of garlic halved, 1 rind parmesan, kosher salt and pepper, 3 small boneless skinless chicken breasts, or about 1.25 pounds, 2 large eggs, 6 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, and 6 cups baby spinach. In a large pot, simmer the onions, garlic, parmesan rind, and 12 cups water for 25 minutes. Strain. Season with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper and return to a simmer. Add the chicken and poach until cooked through 11 to 13 minutes. Then, using tongs, transfer the chicken to a bowl. Do not discard the broth. Let the chicken cool slightly and then shred into pieces. Meanwhile, in a medium bowl, whisk together eggs and lemon juice until foamy. Slowly, 1 tablespoon at a time, whisk in 1 cup of the broth from the pot. Whisking the broth into the pot constantly. Slowly add the egg broth mixture to the pot. Reduce heat to medium-low and cook until the soup is slightly thickened and velvety, about 5 minutes. Remove from heat, stir in the chicken and spinach, and let sit 5 minutes. Here we have best ever shakshuka. I may be saying that wrong. This is a dish involving tomatoes, eggs, and spinach and baguettes. Active time is 15 minutes. Total time, 35. 2 tablespoons olive oil, 1 yellow onion, finely chopped, 1 clove garlic, finely chopped, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, kosher salt and pepper, 1 pound of tomatoes, cut in half if they're large, 8 large eggs, 1/4 cup baby spinach, finely chopped, and a toasted baguette for serving. Heat oven to 400 degrees. Heat oil in large oven-safe skillet on medium. Add onion and sauté until golden brown and tender, 8 minutes. Stir in the garlic, cumin, and half teaspoon each salt and pepper, and cook 1 minute. Stir in tomatoes, transfer to the oven, and roast 10 minutes. Stir, then make 8 small wells in the vegetable mixture and carefully crack 1 egg into each. Bake eggs to the desired doneness, 7 to 8 minutes, for slightly runny yolks. Sprinkle with spinach, and if desired, serve with toast. That's where the bread comes in, I believe. Tomato soup with Parmesan crostini. 2 and 3. Oh, this is active time, 10 minutes. Total, 1 hour 20. 2 3/4 pounds tomatoes. 8 cloves garlic smashed. 1 red onion thickly sliced. 2 tablespoons olive oil. Kosher salt and pepper. 4 half-inch thick slices of baguette. 3 tablespoons finely grated Parmesan. Heat oven to 325. On rimmed baking sheet, toss tomatoes, garlic, and onion with oil and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Roast until tomatoes are tender and juicy and onion is tender, 60 to 70 minutes. Transfer all vegetables to pot along with 4 cups of water. Bring to a boil, then puree. Heat oven to broil. Arrange baguette slices on baking sheet. Top with Parmesan and broil until melted. Serve with the soup. This makes 4 servings. Paprika chicken with crispy chickpeas and tomatoes. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time, 20 minutes. And I just want to point out to you that this particular grouping of recipes from Good Housekeeping are all designed to use a lot of the same ingredients so that you can just get a whole bunch of things in at once, and then you've got a whole bunch of recipes to use them. So for the paprika chicken with crispy chickpeas and tomatoes, again, tomatoes, which we've had before, 12 ounces, 8 cloves garlic smashed in their skins, 1 15-ounce canned chickpeas rinsed, 3 tablespoons olive oil divided, kosher salt and pepper, 4 6-ounce boneless skinless chicken breasts, and 2 teaspoons paprika. Heat oven to 425. On a rimmed baking sheet, toss tomatoes, garlic, and chickpeas with 2 tablespoons oil and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Roast 10 minutes. Heat remaining tablespoon oil in a large skillet on medium. Season chicken with paprika and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and cook until golden brown on one side, 5 to 6 minutes. Flip and cook 1 minute more. Transfer to the baking sheet with the tomatoes and chickpeas and roast until cooked through, 6 minutes. Before serving, discard the garlic skins. And this serves 4. And the last recipe in this grouping, grilled chicken kebabs and kale Caesar. Kale Caesar. Active time is 25 minutes. Total time also 25. You need 2 lemons, 1.5 pounds boneless skinless chicken breasts, kosher salt and pepper, 8 thick slices of baguette, 1 clove garlic halved, plus 1/2 small clove garlic finely grated, 1 large egg yolk, 1/2 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 1/3 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup grated Parmesan, 5 ounces baby kale. Cut lemon in half, 1 lemon. From remaining lemon, finely grate. Finely grate 1 tablespoon zest and squeeze 4 tablespoons juice. Cut chicken into 1.5-inch chunks, thread onto skewers, and season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Grill until cooked through 3 to 4 minutes per side. Grill 1 lemon half, cut side down until charred, squeeze over chicken. Grill bread until toasted, rub both sides with garlic halves, then cut into cubes. In bowl, whisk together lemon juice and zest, egg yolk, mustard, grated garlic, and 1/2 teaspoon salt. Slowly whisk in oil. Fold in parmesan, then kale and croutons, and season with pepper. Serve with chicken, and this serves 4. And I lied because I found another page in this grouping. Classic omelet and greens. Active time, 20 minutes. Total time, also 20. 3 tablespoons olive oil, divided. 1 yellow onion, finely chopped. 8 large eggs. Kosher salt. 2 tablespoons unsalted butter. 1 ounce parmesan, finely grated. 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice. 3 ounces baby spinach. And that's the end of your ingredients. Heat oil, 1 tablespoon of the oil, in a large nonstick skillet on medium. Add onion and saute until tender, 6 minutes. Transfer to bowl. In large bowl, whisk together eggs, 1 tablespoon water, and 1/2 teaspoon salt. Return skillet to medium and add butter. Add eggs and cook, stirring constantly with a rubber spatula until eggs are partially set. Turn heat to low and cover pan tightly, cooking until eggs are just set, 4 to 5 minutes. Top with parmesan and cooked onion. Fold in half. In a medium bowl, whisk together lemon juice and remaining 2 tablespoons olive oil. Toss spinach with vinaigrette and serve with omelet. This serves 4 as well. From Family Circle, cleaning mushrooms. So you need to wash mushrooms, right? Or wrong. If they're packaged pre-sliced button mushrooms or pre-mixed exotics, no, you don't have to wash them. But everything else needs a quick cleaning. Here's the proper approach for each type. Exotic mushrooms, such as oyster, shiitake, and enoki. Wipe the tops with a damp paper towel. For white button and brown cremini, a.k.a. baby Bella mushrooms, trim stems and rinse in a colander under cool water and pat dry. And for large stuffing mushrooms and portobellos, wipe the top of each cap with a damp paper towel or soft brush. Remove stems if you plan on grilling or stuffing. If not, just cut off any parts with visible soil. And from Real Simple, a cup of tea is such an easy way to cleanse the palate, warming the hands and the belly. Why not elevate this simple act to a grounding meditation? Start by heating the water. A watched pot never boils, but observing the temperature gradually rising can be an effective way of slowing down the mind. When the water is ready, pour slowly, watching the tea bag begin to absorb the water. Cupping the mug with both hands, place it under your nose. Take in a deep breath, allowing the steam and the aroma to flood your nostrils. Exhale through your mouth. Repeat until the tea is cool enough to drink, and enjoy the first sip with a renewed sense of calm and alertness. And this by Edward Jones of wheelandaxle.net. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, triangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.